Thank you so much to our sponsors, Yellow Racket Records, a place for music lovers to discover, hear, and buy new and pre-loved records. Great staff, great coffee, comfy chairs. YellowRacketCHA.com. And RC2 Realty Solutions, Real Estate Investments. Robin Ring's got a brand new thing. Call 531-1722.
Only in Jeff Styles, America.
As I have said before, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again and again if I have to, this is the real rocker in the band Queen, Roger Taylor, the drummer, who did take vocal duties from time to time, and this one fits the topic. Crank it up for a sec. And if you saw Bohemian Rhapsody, yes, this is the song that all the other band members were making fun of. And I'm sitting there in the audience of the theater going, that's their greatest rockin' song of all time. Leave the man alone.
I'm in love with my car.
That was a good movie.
Well, yours was called Bohemian Rhapsody. What the hell is that? I'm in love with my car, Queen, kicking off this four more hour. And we're playing that one because we're going to talk about cars. The Chattanooga Motor Car Festival coming up. And the man is in here with us, Corky Coker. And Corky, it's been a long time, so seeing you. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
You hadn't changed a bit.
Well, my mustache got grayer. Right. You know, when my teeth got longer, my hair got white, and, you know, things hurt.
Women
everything,
like that.
Everything hurts.
We like that, though.
Well, thank you.
You have great hair.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, there's a whole lot of fertilizer underneath it.
You got a Sam Elliott
You got to have an explanation.
You got a Sam Elliott thing.
So the women like people wisdom say that. Hair? Yeah. Is that what it, the women like wisdom hair?
Yeah.
That's what absolutely. I call it.
Definitely.
I call wisdom it wisdom hair. Yeah.
Yeah,
wisdom hair, yeah.
Right.
Well, right. That goes with long teeth, too.
All right, let's start with the subject at hand, being the Motor Car Festival, and then I want to go back in time a little bit with your company, your sure. family company.
Sure.
The festival canceled last year like everything was for the most part. It was just one of those things you couldn't get around. Back this year.
Right.
Lots of changes, though.
Oh, man.
Lots of changes.
We are excited, Jeff and Jen. I'll tell you, we have so much going on this year at the Chattanooga Motor Car Festival. It is the second full weekend in October, October 15th through 17th. We've got a concourse that happens on Sunday. And we have Mecum Auctions coming to town. They will alone, in their own right, under their own power and marketing, bring probably 20,000 people, about 600 cars. So if you want to buy
serious?
A 69 Camaro or something, just be watching Mecum. They'll be at the Chattanooga Hamilton County Trade Center and run a huge big auction. My good friends Dana and Frank Mecum are bringing the whole circus here to town. And we'll be having cars for sale at that auction on Thursday
or
Friday.
Stop for a minute. Stop your momentum for a second, because yep. I'm going to ask a question on
sure.
that. We can always put a pin in and come back, but I'm not going to.
Yep.
So are these cars that they own, or do they show up and people come in and do like a consignment thing? Do you want to sell my car? You get a cut of it.
Both. Frank and Dana have a lot of cars of their own, but majority of these cars that they sell at auction are people that are consigning their cars. If you are listening to us in this radio market and you have a collector car you want to sell, you should go online and say, hey, I want to consign my car to the, because you'll save the freight. You won't have to ship it to Scottsdale or
you
somewhere
drive
like
it
that.
Off.
Yeah, you can just drive it to the Chattanooga Hamilton County Trade Center and sell it at auction. And they bring all the big name collector car guys that are buying cars on the auction right here in town. So it's a really wonderful thing. We wanted Byron and Ken and Ken Gross and I wanted to have some great momentum for this Motor Car Festival. The first year in 2019, Jeff, it was absolutely amazing. We got the most wonderful reception for a first year concourse and Motor
sure.
Car Festival. People love a family style event coming downtown. And, you know, when mama gets tired of seeing, you know,
sure.
rubber and oil and
or
and
daddy China. Might get tired of seeing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they, you can go into a little shop downtown. You can go, you know, into a restaurant downtown, and it is a fun family event. It's headquartered around the Westin downtown, but then all the concourse itself, which is on Sunday, which is the key point of the event, is around all those streets right
and
around the Westin.
All right, and that's the we're using existing streets where you need to, but also the course itself is being built as we speak.
That's right.
And it will flow. This is more like a Le Mans thing, all right? I mean, you know, it's literally in the countryside, but the course is now being built all around the south side. I've seen the route, and it's being laid out as we go. There will be sections. I don't know what they'll do with that road when it's over. I don't know if it'll be open for pedestrian traffic or bike traffic.
You know, Second Story Ventures, Jeff, has got they've got all the old Austin property, the combustion engineering property there that they're developing. And they've got a wonderful plan. Jimmy and his crew are building a city there with sort of like San Antonio, Jenna. You know, you've ever been there and you can ride down the river and then there's restaurants and
they
have
the first riverfront.
Sure. Yeah.
Our riverfront was based on their riverfront to a large degree. A lot of people don't know that.
That's right. Well, Second Story Ventures is building that on the old Austin property, and Byron and I approached them about building a purpose-built track around the perimeter so that they can have bridges over, and that's ultimately the goal. This year, we're building a purpose-designed track for this event. This year, we'll have very strong safety with barriers. We'll have tires that are bolted together, and we'll have concrete barriers to protect the pedestrians and those that are watching.
Spectators.
Spectators, for sure. But part of it will come on Riverfront Parkway and then go back on to the Austin property. And, you know, both mayors are really supportive, and they think it's a wonderful event. We will literally bring over 100,000 people to Chattanooga.
Why would they not think it's a wonderful event?
I mean, it's like, you know, I've said before, it's our rear ends in seats in restaurants and our heads in beds, and it's just a really wonderful thing.
All right.
Heads and beds and
bucks. I was going to say, you're not working for the CVB now, are you?
Yes, sir. I always am. I really am. I'm here to spend money.
I'm serious.
We all are, actually.
That's right.
Heads and beds, that phrase popped out there, and I mean, people latched onto it like it was it was their last, you know, ditch effort to stay alive. Heads and beds, heads and beds. And I've heard it ever since, but of course, that is what it boils down to. But
it is
100,000. That's an Ironman plus every regatta and race.
That's Bonnaroo.
That's Bonnaroo.
A lot of people.
We hope we have traffic problems together. Backed up on the freeway until they come in. No, not really. We want to think through all of those things.
But
there's so much going on, and you know the purpose driven wheel to wheel track is the Jim Pace Grand Prix. Jim Pace was our first president that died of COVID in 2020. He was a wonderful guy from Mississippi, not Mississippi. It's when you're from the South, it's Mississippi.
But, yeah, you leave that other eye out.
That's right. You get to where you can get it across and people understand.
Yeah.
But it's called the Jim Pace Grand Prix. That purpose-driven track, there will be 60 to 70 classes of race cars. I will be driving some real early brass cars. I've got a whole following. My good friend Brian Blaine in Walnut Grove. No, not Walnut Grove. It's somewhere in California. He has a group called the Ragtime Racers. Pre-1920 cars. Racing with, you know, their scarves flying, their goggles.
Their headgear, the whole thing.
All that stuff.
Wacky racers.
That's sort of my stuff. But there's several different classes. And, you know, we've got a racing management company that's come in and will do the timing and do the insurance and do all of that stuff. And we'll manage that part of it. We'll have a Mecum auction. We'll have a concourse. We're having a rally, a hijinks rally in the tri-state area on two of the days, on Friday and Saturday, all finishing at the Westin downtown. It's an exciting event.
Quick definition check.
Will there be vendors?
What's hijinks, real quick?
Hijinks is kind of a time-speed endurance rally.
Okay.
It's not who gets there the fastest. It's using your head, a pencil, a clock, and trying to match a course.
What did they used to? I actually name dropped our friend Dale Deason out there. So he used to do that.
Yeah.
And then what they called it course racing.
Yeah.
Course racing. But it was timed, and it was in whatever the class of car you were in. You could do it in anything, but they would class you with other cars. But you had to basically run a route and you were timed on the route. You weren't racing the person next to
That's
you
right.
as much as you were racing the clock.
You're racing the clock. And it's really a fun game that we play, us car guys play with our cars. And, you know, we can get our grandsons. My son, Cameron, who just passed away about 3 months ago.
I actually should have started our conversation with that. I apologize.
You know, he knew who Jesus was. And he's in heaven today, and I'll see him soon.
Okay.
So my heart is good.
I thought about
you. But thank you. But yeah. My son did the great race with me, and he was my aggravator. My navigator. and he would tell me which way to turn.
Interchangeable.
And, yeah, interchangeable. That's what the rally is. But yes. This Motor Car Festival is so much fun. And by the way, we need lots of volunteers. So you can register on the ChattanoogaMotorCarFestival.com or send an email to info@ChattanoogaMotorCarFestival.com and apply to be a volunteer.
We'll get these two in about 2 minutes. We'll get a commercial break. Her question, vendors. You'll have vendors.
Oh, yeah. There'll be all kinds of vendors, food vendors. And we even have a place where you can buy automobilia, which is really cool.
That's what I was getting at.
You need some more of that stuff. I see a lot of radios and microphones here in the studio, but you need some automobilia here. Come on, Jeff.
There's a train.
Yeah, there is a train.
There's a beer.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't go with cars.
I was going to say. The dates.
Yeah, October 15th through the 17th.
Okay. All right. That's already posted. You know it's all posted.
She's always
ahead of us.
She's one of your brains. Stuff.
Yes, exactly. She's the work brain. The home brain's probably looking at it right now.
Yeah,
And saying that they could have done this better. They could have done this better. I'm surrounded by organized people. I don't know how I deal with it.
You know, the ladies in our life are detailed. And, you know, we're kind of big picture and then we compartmentalize. But they keep us straight. My sweet Teresa keeps me straight every day.
Well, I'll go ahead and jump on out there. As a matter of fact, Rebecca is gainfully employed at the Erlanger, Children's Foundation.
Right.
But the new sponsor this year is actually CHI Memorial. Be sweet.
That's right. We 50+ Racing Foundation is raising all the money. This is not a profit venture. This is for nonprofit, and all of the money goes to neurological research. Easy for Jen to say. I mean, me to say.
Yeah.
But all that money goes there, and it helps with Dr. Devlin's research. And Dr. Devlin moved over to CHI Memorial.
Yes,
and
he did.
He is just amazing, and is doing great stuff.
We were all aware of that link, that it would follow him more than likely,
right.
Because it was his
it's
baby.
His love and his passion, and you know, and that's what
his profession
we're about is passion and helping. You know, and we've got some really interesting things coming that has to do with neurological issues that we can't announce yet, but stay tuned, and maybe I can come back. I'm not going to tell you yet, but it's going to be cool.
It has
to do with the future. I'll give you that hint.
We're sitting on the brink right now, the precipice of a lot of major changes when it comes to neurology. We've heard now, of course, I mean, it's in the news again today, the new Alzheimer's drug, first one that's actually hit the market yet. It's going to be highly expensive, but I mean, there are leaps and bounds being made,
right?
And mental illness is also on the front page.
Definitely.
And
that
goes back to the same thing. It's the way your brain's wired. When we get through with this commercial, when it comes out, we'll just, you know me, they pay me the mediocre dollars to ask stupid questions.
Big bucks.
To people who can give me brilliant answers. And so that's what we're going to do.
Don't expect it from me.
I'm going to rapid fire you with a bunch of really dumb questions. You're going to give me really smart answers. All right. So, again, it's all posted at our Facebook site, and it's pretty easy. Chattanooga Motor Car Festival. Look it up, and you'll find everything you need to know. And volunteers are needed, and it's going to be a blast. It's going to bring a bunch of money to town. That's going to vault you guys to very potentially the biggest event in this city.
One of the best automotive events in the whole United States. That's our goal.
All right. Well, there you have it. All right. Everybody hang tight. Explore More Hour, where we basically try to get you off the couch and outside doing something. And even if you're going and trading your seat for the driver's seat in a stock or muscle car or whatever they might have antique, for the Motor Car Festival. Whatever it takes, that's what we're all about. Get off the couch. Dag snabbit.
Only in Jeff Styles, America.
I'm a terrible passenger. I don't care. I will be driving slowly, and you'll just have to hang. I'm a terrible passenger.
You're also a terrible navigator.
I'm that guy that just does this constantly. I'm hitting the imaginary brake pedal while you're driving 100% of the time. And as they all know here, I do. I drive like a 127-year-old man with a hat on Sunday, you know? And so nobody's going to drive my car. Just using that for the bumper music.
I remember when Russell, myself, and you and Mr. Chicago went to the Hiawassee.
Yeah.
You suck at navigating.
I know.
That's the job of the
passenger. I'm a good aggravator, not a good navigator.
I mean, we literally got all the way up past Calhoun.
We were engaged in conversation. I wasn't paying attention to the road. Now, Corky Coker's in here with us. We're talking about the Chattanooga Motor Car Festival back this year and bigger and better than ever. All right, I said I was going to hit you with some rapid-fire questions. And
sure.
It's just simple stuff. If you're into music like I am, and occasionally I don't think I've talked to him since I've been here. Mighty John, the record guy, He's the nationwide expert on albums, vinyl albums, and what's worth something. The most expensive record, when you're out at yard sales and stuff like flea markets, if you ever see the Freewheeling Bob Dylan, buy it for whatever price it is, because there's a chance it might be one of the few that has a hidden track on there. It's not listed on the album. It's called Talking John Birch Society Blues. If you actually were lucky enough to get a piece of vinyl that has that song on it, and it doesn't have it on the album, which it never did, that's $45,000 in your pocket.
Oh, my goodness.
So what is the Bob Dylan Freewheeling Blues of cars right now? What would be the thing that you could come up on an auction like this? Maybe not looking for it, but it would be like the gemstone.
Okay. There's a lot. You know, I am a car collector, motorcycle collector. I like everything mechanical. So I have a lot of things on my buy list. Now, I hope my wife's not listening, because she will just absolutely reprimand
me. She has a no list.
Yeah, she has a big no list.
Yes.
You don't need this, and you don't need that, and you don't need this.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a lot of really nice cars. I'd love to have a Duesenberg, obviously, but, you know, that's a lot of money.
Haven't you heard that name in a while?
Yeah, Duesenbergs are really pretty amazing. They supercharged J's that are just amazing. I just acquired my lifelong dream. I have a 1911 Mercer Raceabout. It's a 500 cubic inch four-cylinder T-head three-speed car that was a man's sports car before 1920, and it is a 100 mile an hour car, hand cranked. 1911 is a 100 mile an hour car, and I can literally drift with that. I can drift. You know, that takes big horsepower.
I can takes drift. A lot of space too.
It takes a lot of space, but this car drives like it's a full size go kart, and you know, I'll have it out at the Chattanooga Motor Car Festival and be racing in the early brass class, because it will whoop everything. Oh, that's a challenge to all my friends that are coming.
Come on, you've thrown the gauntlet down, the leather glove of the driving glove. All
that's
right.
It.
All right. So out of the categories, what is the hot category now? Is it antique automobiles, esoteric stuff, or muscle cars still the more in demand? People are going back looking for a 67 Charger or Mustang, something of that. And you're looking for the Steve McQueen Bullet Mobile.
Right.
What is the hot property right now? I'm sure it comes and goes.
It does, you know, based on what the hobby is doing. And vintage racing, historic racing is really hot right now. And these guys are mostly, you know, they got their middle income and above, and they've got the money to play with. But these cars are valuable. They're out there racing, you know, Ferrari Daytonas, AC Cobras, and, you know, they're kind of exchanging paint every now and then, but not much. So it's kind of a choreographed dance that you do with each other.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you're racing in a NASCAR race, you're driving somebody else's car. It's not yours.
That's
when you're out there in your own car, you're going to be swapping paint a lot less.
It hurts. It hurts in your rear pocket.
Pop culture's effect on cars and their popularity. I've mentioned this before. When the CJ5 first came out, Bronco drivers and Blazer drivers didn't like it until Mindy started driving it on Mork and Mindy.
That's
suddenly,
right.
Everybody wanted a Jeep. They could take the doors off.
That's right. She had a Jeep.
All of a sudden, it blew up.
Yes, she did.
You mentioned the Cobra. You remember who the first person to drive a Cobra was on TV? Farrah Fawcett and Charlie's Angels.
Oh, my goodness.
Went through the roof.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, everybody wants a Cobra. And I mentioned Mustang, in Bullet.
Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen
was just the cool.
He was the coolest of all cool.
Yep.
And generally, you picture him in your mind behind the wheel with his shades on, his Ray-Bans on, right?
Absolutely.
And I was just thinking, now I get into the esoteric field. My best friend in high school, I swear, if I'm lying, I'm dying. He found and bought a Metropolitan.
Right.
It was the smallest little car. It had a passenger seat, but it wasn't really a seat. It was more like the end of a bar stool, if you could get in there with it. And it had one headlight in the middle that turned when you turned the wheel.
Similar
when you turned
to the
wheel, it turned to it had the Tucker design, and that headlight would rotate. And he'd be going down there. He got pulled over every night because the cops didn't know what he was in. But it was running. It was in good shape. I think he paid some ridiculously low price for it. Just, he bought it for novelty purposes.
Right.
And I've never met another person who had one.
Oh, yeah. There's some of them out. One of my buddies that works at Orange Grove is the doctor there. He has a Metropolitan, and he had a little electric motor that he drilled a hole through the trunk, and he had a big wind-up thing. And when he's driving it, you would see the wind-up. How fun is that?
That's what it felt like.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. One of those little deals. Those are just so much fun. And, people need to get out and have fun with their family. I think that people need to have no more garage kings, no more trailer queens, and they need to get their family out and go for a family drive. And it's safe for COVID because you just got your family that you're living with anyway.
I hadn't thought about that either.
Go out for a family drive.
I had another friend that had a Karmann Ghia, and you had to get out when he went up a hill.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up with Karmann Ghias and Beetles.
And you grew up on flat property too, didn't you?
I grew up in Australia. Where
pretty flat.
He drove pretty fast in that thing.
Fast.
Yeah, you drove on the wrong side of the road though, too.
Yeah, it was on the wrong side of the road.
Dodging kangaroos the whole time.
Yeah.
Now, all right, so as far as the Motor Car Festival goes, did you actually, in the original design, were you looking at another event and said, they do it right, let's do it like them? Or is this a complete just composite, this Chattanooga Indigenous?
I have to say, Jeff, that I'm really amazed at Byron and Ken DeFore, because they are perfectionists and they want the best of the best for Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. And their desire is to bring people to Chattanooga, which is the dynamo of Dixie, the best mid-sized city in the South. Mm-hmm. And, that's
best
their
outdoor
goal.
City.
It is.
Over and over and over again.
Over and over again. Outdoor Magazine, we made top several times. So they designed that. And Ken Gross and I and Byron have been to all the great car shows in the world, literally. And we've reached and grabbed the important stuff that we think is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And, one of the things that I enjoy, my sweet wife and I enjoy, that you'll see coming is taken from Goodwood Revival over in England, whereas there is a section in an area that is period clothing. You can't get into it unless you look like you're from the period that we're highlighting. Like Teresa and I were just at Amelia Island Concourse. We had a 1915 Simplex, and we dressed in period clothing.
1915.
Yeah, we dressed in
that
1915.
That was part of the deal.
People just say, wow, that's so cool.
They expect that of you.
That's right.
It's role-playing. You're role-playing on top of everything
Absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely. And it just creates smiles. And if we can't create smiles today, outdoors, doing family stuff, then what are we doing?
That's hilarious.
Were you a fan of Car Talk?
Oh, absolutely.
How much do you miss it? I miss it.
Yeah, let's get it back.
Well, he died.
You can be host.
Well, no, I mean, you can be the host. We can do it.
You can do it.
We can do it.
That actually is not a bad idea. Oh, you want to do a radio show?
Oh, my gosh. I need one more job, Danny.
My wife now is calling in.
The no
see
list.
Those flashing lights?
No,
that's my wife calling in.
No. Right there. No.
If you change your mind, you've got my number.
No.
She says, as soon as you commit something, you're taking time away from me.
We have another segment. I want to actually talk a little bit about the development of your family business and how it went from one thing to another, and they grew. I mean, you just got rid of it just recently.
Exploded.
Yeah, and it was by really saying, let's don't do everything. Let's do one thing, and let's just get into the niche.
Yep.
Niches can be very lucrative, and I mean, it's happened in my career lifetime. I mean, it's really happened in that amount of time. It's been amazing to watch.
Yeah, that's right.
I've talked about some of the success stories of Chattanooga. You know, Rock Creek Outfitters, we had Dawson Wheeler in here not too long ago.
Yeah.
Jim Webster at the Barn Nursery. He started with a little roadside produce stand.
Mm-hmm. And he made it work.
Yeah,
made it work
sure
well.
Yeah, sure did. And you guys were certainly one of them.
Yep.
All right, Nougat Radio is what you're listening to. This is, of course, the Explore More Hour every Friday from 9 to 10. Something to get you off the couch, get you outdoors. Don't forget that tomorrow's free fishing day in Tennessee. You don't have to have a license. You don't have to go get a permit. I'll be nice to do that anyway. It's just a direct contribution to conservation of our wetlands and waterlands and all the everything lands here in Tennessee. It's the most direct contribution you can make, actually, to conservation. But tomorrow, if you want to just fish, go fish, for God's sakes. I think it'll be a good day for it.
I've got my dynamite already.
There you go. So you fish the way I do. Good old-fashioned M80s. I still got a case of them.
Only in Jeff Styles, America.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409.
Don't think there's a band that did more Carson from the Beach Boys.
And I save my dimes.
Little Deuce Tube, GTO. No doubt, that's a good one. What was your first car? What we were talking about first. Mine was a 67 Buick Skylark, which I did not appreciate at the time. And for somebody who likes to drive slow, even then, it went awfully fast. It had a top end that was it buried the needle.
It's like a boat, though, wasn't it?
No, actually, the Skylark was pretty hunkered down on the ground. It was more compact.
It's one of Buick's better cars. It's you'll see them at Meet the Auction.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Chattanooga Motor Car
I'm
Festival.
Sure. What was your first one?
My first car wasn't a car. It was a pickup truck. Mm-hmm. I had a 1932 Ford pickup.
Oh, wow.
That my dad said, here, you and I are going to restore that. And, we did, and he traded it off. And
three on the stick?
Yep. Three on the floor. On the floor. And it was a fun piece. I guess my first more modern car was a 65 Mustang High Performance 289 4-speed.
You were a car guy going in.
I was a car guy. I drove tractors when I was 10 and all that sort of stuff. So, I've been mechanical just about all my life.
I wanted to do the Chattanooga Motor Car Festival. Corky Coker, our guest in here, this Explore More Hour, will get this last segment here. Don't normally go to the phone lines during this because we always have interesting guests in. If you're just dying to say something, you can call in and Jason will weed you out if you're good or not.
I'll just weed you out anyway.
Your family business, though.
Right.
Coker Tire. You guys were a tire company. And you bought tires and wheels and other accoutrements for a vehicle. And you guys made the decision to specialize at some point. I figure it probably was slow and then got fast. Just give us a quick history on it and how you guys ended up where you were. Was 2 years ago you started?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. A private equity company out of Manhattan bought it. And my dad graduated from college at TPI, which is Tennessee Tech, in chemical engineering, and he went to work for B.F. Goodrich, and he was the territory manager, started our tire company in 1958 in Athens, moved us here. I moved to Chattanooga, to the big city, metropolitan city of Chattanooga in 1961. we had regular tire stores. You do the automobile service, and just like my good friends at Eberle's,
the quality tire place. Yeah.
Wonderful
guys.
That's
an old school place.
Yep, old school place. We were old school. And my dad was always a car guy, vintage car guy. My grandfather, Pop Coker, had three boys, and he taught them how to work on Model A's and T's. That was all they could afford at the time. They didn't have any money, so they could buy a $50 Model A and make it run. So because my dad was in the tire business, he started focusing on vintage car tires. Couldn't buy them. Couldn't find them anywhere. And so when he yanked me back from college because I was playing too much, probably had the Jeff Style syndrome.
You maybe. Did.
Anyway, yeah, banjos, beers, and babes.
You grew out of yours.
Yeah, I didn't either. You know, Jesus kind of healed my heart. Anyway, so I just got to the place that I came home, and he said, here, you take this little niche in the business. And I took it and went and in 1974, and we grew our business to 150 employees. We were in 80 countries. We would ship two container loads of tires from our Rossville Avenue, 350,000 square feet of warehouse space locations. We actually had 100,000 square foot wheel business in City of Industry and would ship these things all over the world. Had just, you know, God just blessed us because we focused on our niche. And my grandfather said, you know, Cork, if you, you know, he also said, playing that banjo, I've never met a banjo picker that was good at anything except banjo. So he said, you know, you need to be focused on something, and if you will explore that niche and own it, you'll never have to work a day in your life. And that's the way
it's
something
you actually enjoy. Obviously, you know, it's not going to work.
Car people are the best people in the world because they help each other and they're kind to each other. And
it's a passion.
It is a passion.
It's a hobby. It's a lifestyle. Yep. It's a culture. Yeah. It's a job.
Yeah.
All those things. Now, that's interesting because Jen actually worked at the old station across the river that nobody listens to anymore. For a period of time when I was, you know, still doing, you know, talk radio and I guess my middle younger days doing it. And you may remember some of the more volume-centric conversations that were had from that studio were with his dad and with Jim Eberle, who I loved having in the car.
They were fun.
The duels between him and Paul Clark
were
epic.
Fun,
They were so much fun back in the days of city council. But, I mean, you know, it was God, there were just so many more characters. And I think it's interesting that both that Eberle and your dad went into politics after starting with the exact same kind of business became very flamboyant, colorful characters.
Yeah, they were people persons, and they loved people and, you know, made their business successful, and it made them successful in politics. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of it colorful people in Chattanooga.
Yeah.
I remember one that was a car guy that's just, you know, he and Luther just went to town. Luther was a car guy.
Yes.
But Buddy Houts was amazing. He would say, hey, I've got some free Tennessee volunteer football tickets, and if you want to call me, I'll give them to you free. My number is 265-63.
just fish them in.
Just reel
them in.
But
that's intriguing to me. And those were good days. I enjoyed them very, very, very much. Do you feel it's the same way out there now? I mean, because now you've got mostly big corporate logos on the top of strip centers, you know, for stuff like this. Is it still out there?
The spirit of the people that love cars and love our country is there. We're clearly there. You know, we kind of lost our way a lot of things. We hate each other too much because you believe this and I believe that. That shouldn't be. And, you know, what I believe that we need to do in politics and in business is we need to focus on the things that we agree on and the things that we're passionate about. And we need to, you know, care for each other a little more and work toward the commonality and mutuality of our people.
You're singing
our
song.
People. Yeah.
We ended the show yesterday with me kind of on a harangue saying the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we're focused on the minutiae, the smallest things that don't even really have any effect on our lives, and we're making dividing lines that are separating, the dinner family, the family dinner table, and groups of friends anymore. And you have to be careful. Literally, people you've been around all your life, you say the wrong thing, and they put you in the enemy camp nowadays.
Yeah,
and it didn't used to be that way.
It shouldn't be that way. And the family unit is splintered because mom's got to work and dad's got to work, and you know the
kids don't work.
Yeah, and social media, the kids are living on social media, and they're training our kids, which is wrong. I believe just kind of getting back to my car thing, I believe that families can come together, go out and do stuff together, outdoors, your radio show, outdoors together, you know, come to the Coker Museum and take your family through it, down at Honest Charlie, down on Chestnut Street. Come in and see the stuff that we do. Go out and take a family ride. Go do the Wilderness Theater down in Dade County and do a drive-in together. Go and see your friends in a vintage car, whatever.
This town, you know, Night Falls back.
Yeah.
River Fun Nights is back.
Absolutely.
Everything about those things is family-centric. And just a couple of, now, you mentioned Honest Charlie's. You still get your hands dirty on a regular basis.
Every day.
Every single day.
Yeah.
I mean, you're tinkering.
We're restoring vintage cars. We got a good friend. The Turners have a 69 Camaro that they bought from another family, good friend of mine, the Moores. And we're restoring that car for them right now. We're putting a new engine in it. And they're so excited. They come down there every day looking at it and seeing it done. We just restored another Ted Wells. We just finished a 65 Comet for him. And he is so overjoyed with this. It's like Christmas when they come in and see it.
Now, I'm gonna say, I'm, again, not a car guy. I never have been one. But I recognize certain things, and I'm attracted to certain things. And I'm a big fan of the show Peaky Blinders. And
oh, yeah.
The main character, you know, Shelby, gets his Bentley.
Yeah.
And it's like he's gone from dirt poor, I mean, walking the streets of Birmingham, you know, England.
Not going to talk about how he raised this money.
No, I'm not going to get into all that. I mean, if you don't want to watch the show, if you want to watch it, you be prepared to get hooked.
Yeah.
But I mean,
it's
when,
good.
When he drives up and meets that Russian princess and she's in a Rolls and he's in a Bentley, I'd take the Bentley every time.
Oh,
you know,
my.
I mean, sorry, and you mentioned the Dusseldorf, and I hadn't thought about that in a long time, but there's something about sitting in that car.
Yeah.
I would be proud to be able to drive that car around.
Styles, come down and see me. I've got a 1929 blower Bentley that I'll take you a ride in, and it will absolutely make your curly hair straight.
I will.
It'll make your curly hair straight.
One of my paddling buddies who lives up on the mountain with me got a Model A the other day, Model T, from his father who knew Henry Ford. He actually built a little barn for it, and we took off. We rode all over the top of the mountain.
That's fine.
And this ancient car still working. And I'm talking about, you know, the clutches. He's having to work and and there's so much more going on. He's a constant blur of action over there, just driving this car down the road. But everybody went by, just stopped what they were doing and waved and took off their hats.
Right.
And you know, it's like it's a presentation.
Making people smile.
I made a video out of it, literally. Yeah.
Making people smile. And that's what old cars do. That's what the Chattanooga Motor Car Festival does. It makes people give you a thumbs up. And it makes people smile.
Mm-hmm.
And families come and have a great time. And that's what, you know, I enjoy every day is passion.
So you mentioned the both mayors are into it. Do you have anybody that doesn't think this is a good idea? I mean, because usually in this town, there will always be an opposition pop up from somewhere whenever have a brilliant idea. It's just the Chattanooga way, you know. So maybe that's the way things should be. But I mean, is there anybody that doesn't see the worth of this?
Well, you know, we've got to close a street or two, and then, you know, people are concerned that
working with we're going to have
you know, some interruption to our business. But quite frankly, we see some huge benefit overall. And we think it's worth a little bit of pain sometimes in order to get there, but very little.
You know,
quite honestly,
Dixie Fuller, and you know Chip Baker very well. And the Riverbend conundrum was, you know, the local businesses that said, "Y'all mess us up for 2 weeks a year," and we're going, "But we're bringing in 60,000 people a night.
Right.
Can't you figure out a way to make that work?"
Right.
And that was an easy response. But then I realized some of those people couldn't. That was not going to be them. You have to accept that, but they have to accept it too.
Yeah.
If the whole city is going to get an influx of 100,000 people and all that money, you're going to have to suck it up.
It's going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good thing overall.
Yeah.
So we appreciate the help of both mayors, and Jim and Tim, and all the county commission, city council. It's been really supportive of what we're doing at the Chattanooga Motor Car Festival, and we're just thankful. And it's going to be a great thing. Moving forward, it's going to be a huge thing.
That can only get bigger. I do have to ask you, as a Southside native for so long, and I lived down there for 8 years.
Right.
And once we moved out to Sequatchie, we were out there for 5.
Right.
I went down to meet some people early on in Tim Kelly's mayoral campaign. It was just kind of a brainstorming session about the outdoors. And I literally pulled up to my old neighborhood and got out, and I didn't recognize it.
Oh,
it's after exploded. 5 years, I hadn't had a whole lot of reason to go, you know, off the beaten path. I didn't even know where I was.
That's right.
Before we go, where's the best place to be if you just want to come down and be a spectator?
Probably start at the Westin.
Okay.
The Westin is the headquarters hotel. You'll see all the cars come in and out. They've got parking garages there that they'll store them overnight there.
Okay.
And the rallies will come in and out of there. And then, you know, within, we'll have 72-person trams moving from the Westin across the hill to Austin property.
And,
but it's within walking distance.
Sure.
It's three blocks.
Oh, yeah, you can walk it all the time.
Yeah, so,
so
those things are amazing. Amazing venues, and most of it's right there and on the West End.
If you can walk from the City Cafe down to the new River Walk, you're all right.
Sure.
And the course will work itself out, and I imagine we'll figure out what the hot spots are as more people come.
There are going to be lots of VIP places. There'll be for the general populace that for folks to come in and watch the racing, the wheel to wheel, and it'll be exciting.
Corky Coker, thank you so much for swinging by. Chattanooga Motor Car Festival. Good to see you, buddy.
Thank you, brother.
And all these towns, it's in my blood and it's all around. I loved you now like I loved you then. This is the road and these are the hills.
Fred Podcast wouldn't be possible without the support of our sponsors. Southern Segway, Chattanooga's first consumer Segway dealer. Find them at Southern Segway on Facebook and Instagram. Dr. Brett Moldenhauer, Institute for Acupuncture and Wellness. And North Spring Cryotherapy and Rejuvenation Center. Find them at northspring.com. For more, go to fredpodcast.com.